Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Nation, you are tuned into the cutting room floor. It is Friday. I am LeVar, and as always, I am joined by my lovely co-host, Mary. What's going on?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay. Doing okay. It is the weekend. Well, unofficially now the weekend. Big weekend. It is going to be Cinco de Mayo this weekend, as well as Derby weekend, and it's the first weekend in May, and weather is getting nicer outside, and just a lot of everything going on. But before I kind of go into anything else, I do want to say that you can now catch us on the web. We are powered by Wix.com, so it's at Wix.com/newscommentBTR/fanpage. There, you can catch the latest in terms of our schedule, post bios, and more. So, I did mention the Kentucky Derby this weekend. There is a article, or there was a story this week that kind of caught my eye. And it is involving R&B veteran Mary J. Blige, who, you know, even before this, I think it can be without no doubt that probably among some of the most respected singers probably in that genre, Mary J. Blige kind of stands as probably her generation's maybe soulful Aretha Franklin. An award winner, someone that, you know, is not going to, you know, do what these youngins kind of do, or, you know, do anything that's going to ruin, quote, the brand, even though, you know, they had the whole thing of the BK commercial lately, and she caught heat for that. But there's something else that seems to be kind of going on with Mary. Now, she was chosen as the singer for the national anthem this weekend for the Derby. Now, she's a 9-time Grammy-winning singer, mind you. 9-time Grammy-winning singer. And the concern, Louisvillian, called into the city's local news station, WHAS, and left the following message on its rant line. She says, and I quote, "Is somebody going to ensure that Mary J. Blige performs the national anthem at the Kentucky Derby the way it is supposed to be sung? I think all performers should be instructed to sing the anthem as it was originally recorded and not add their own flair to our national anthem. I have nothing against Mary J. Blige, but I prefer our national anthem original." Now, a Mary J. Blige supporter called in and countered with this. She said that for those that want the anthem sung in a so-called, quote, good way for America, come on. Let Mary J. sing the song and sing it with all of her heart. Now, she was heavily criticized for her version of the Star Spangled Banner at the 2012 NBA All-Star Game. And I don't want to be the one to say that anything is kind of racial here. And of course, it's Kentucky. I mean, nothing against you guys in Kentucky, but you don't have a good history when it comes to this. But I was a little bit upset when I heard this. Maybe by the wording, more so. Now, I can understand people who don't, who prefer things a certain way. But, you know me well enough right now to know where I'm going with this question. Is their concern valid? Is their concern perhaps twinging a little bit on the radical side? Because, I mean, she hasn't even sung it yet. We don't know how she's going to perform it. But even then, I guess this gets a little bit more in the way of what is original, what is accepted, because there is no rules that state that it has to be sung in a certain way. It's originally written a certain way, but we could say the same, and I know this song is held in the higher standard, but we could say the same with all songs in that it is perhaps done a tad differently dependent upon the singer. But it is still done in a respectful way because no words are changed. And the intention in which the song is sung, it is still presented in that way. Your thoughts?
My thoughts. I have lots. No, I'm just kidding. One thought only. If she wants it to be sung originally, then she should not listen to any other person sing the national anthem anywhere across the United States at any time, ever.
You can't, yeah,
all
you're
of
not
those kidding. Things. Anytime, anywhere, no one, ever.
No.
Done. Because nobody thinks it's the original way it was written.
No.
Okay? Nobody does. Not even choirs who follow the music sheets sing it the original way that it was written. It is the Kentucky Derby. It is a posh event, whatever. It is the national anthem. And I enjoy a well-sung national anthem. Mary J. Blige, she is a phenomenal singer. Phenomenal. I love the way she did it at the All-Star Game. What was that, this year? She's great. So let her sing. She's not going to do our country disservice. Or the stupid derby. It's not about the derby. It's about the song about our country. And if you have a problem with that, then go somewhere else. Go sing O Canada. Go sing whatever the Mexican national anthem is. Go to Europe. You know, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not saying anything bad about anybody, but it borders on insane. Not there.
Well,
if there
yeah.
was no racial intention to it, then she worded her rant so incorrectly. You want a guarantee? Go to CarMax. You know, there's your guarantee. I know that's. I'll rant about it. I like I said, I love it. I like when I've been to sporting events. I've been to other events that require, not require, but have the national anthem sung at the very beginning of the event, to open the event. And there are renditions that I have cringed at. There are renditions that I've sung along to. And there are certain ones that make my skin tingle and that whole feeling in your spine, and it just, it touches you so deeply because it's like they did it. They hit it right on the head. And one of those renditions is Mary J. Blige from the All-Star Game. And if she can copy that, come close to that, my God, you know, I would be proud to have that song. But that's just my thoughts.
No, and I agree. One of the things I think that's even more disturbing, there are people who still get on Whitney Houston for her rendition, even though I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? And there are people who get on Marvin Gaye's rendition during the 84 All-Star Game. And fantastic renditions, which are the most remembered. And
I just don't understand
the
whole Whitney Houston one, because she sang it note for note, verbatim, as it was written, with no real flair to it. Yeah, she slowed it down a little bit so you could hear the notes and the words, but that's about it.
Well, and I'm with you, because the thing is that if you're going to have an issue with Mary J. Blige, who is an accomplished Grammy winner, this isn't like she's some, you know, freckle-faced brand-new kid that doesn't have singing lessons and is going to sing it. Because my problem is this, and I think this is why it's so asinine, is that if you are going to quote, want someone to ensure that she sings it correctly, it almost kind of, I don't want to go into it, but it almost kind of goes into, you know, those overtones of a little bit of racism. Because are you going to, okay, if I had Tony Bennett coming out to sing it, are you going to have an issue with the way Tony does it? Because Tony may do it with, you know, a jazzy flair. You know, if if some American Idol contestant comes out and sing it, do you want somebody to oversee that? I mean, at this point, if you're going to have an issue with a Grammy winner doing it, then you, and if you, and if you think that, quote unquote, your national anthem, and I was like, our national anthem, you said it in which a way you excluded her from that. Like she is some visitor from a foreign country coming over here to sing it for the first time. You know, it's Mary's national anthem too. And if Mary wants to sing it, you know, 10-minute version, if she wants to sing, you know, hip-hop version, then so be it. You know, then let the chips fall as it may. She was selected. You got to remember, she was selected by the people at Churchill Downs to do this. So obviously they didn't have an issue with it if they are selecting her. But all of a sudden, someone else is having it and quote-unquote singing our national anthem. Like, she stakes a claim to this by herself. Like, Mary J. Blige doesn't hold a claim to this at all. But I can guarantee you, and I can't speak for Mary, I don't know Mary, but I'm pretty sure she stakes a claim in it, too. And if she thought that she was going to do it a disservice, she would not sing it. Nor would she probably even volunteer to sing it. She would probably say, you know what, thanks, but no thanks. Why would she go onto a national stage and sing a song that she would think that she would mess up on? And I just find this nuts that someone, and I'm pretty sure she's not the only, that lady who called her that television station is not the only one thinking that. And it enraged me to no end when I saw that story this week and I heard about it, because I hope, Mary, you go there and you sing it the way that you want to sing it, not how others want you to sing it. How you want to sing it. And
I'll try. Thanks.
Yeah, and Mary and my co-host here is right. You know, if you are going to have an issue with hers, then you might as well have all these little kids that you think it's cute singing it. You might as well get rid of them. You might as well get rid of every other singer. You might as well get rid of the opera singers that sing it. You might as well get rid of the choirs that sing it. You might as well get rid of all of these American Idol winners that sing it. You might as well get rid of everyone singing it and just have an instrumental, and even then check it for standards, because there are no rules when it comes to the singing of the national anthem. It doesn't say it has to be sung this way. It doesn't say it has to be sung that way. It just asks. The only thing in the rules that states to it is that you stand up, put your hand over your heart, and that it is given with the most of, you know, your sincerities.
Yeah,
don't change
you
the
follow
words.
The notes the best
that
you can. People adjust those notes to fit their voice, and I'm sorry, that's how it works. If you're a singer, I can't hit those notes. I'm not going to go out there and try to hit the notes that they have written on the page. So do you want me to go out there and try and croak? No, that's a disservice. Whatever. Go to CarMax, get your guarantees, and be done. It's probably some 90-year-old ditty that has nothing better to do than to rant into a TV show.
Pretty much. Moving on. You all know we're Planet of Listmakers and voters, and of course things we like to put in the top 10s, top 100s, and best and worst ever. So it should come as no surprise that hot on the heels of FHM's 100 Sexiest Women in the World list is a vote on the sexiest girl in prison. Yes, you read that right. Lonely Joe Birds across America have online profiles, and doggone it, they're hot. But according to the good people at Ranker, this accolade of the sexiest Joe Bird goes to Renee Bell, a 33-year-old who is, quote, in search of a real man for friendship, companionship, possibly more. Must be stable in all ways, willing to take on the responsibility of having a woman in prison. And this 6-foot-tall Christian does not reveal what she's behind bars for, but she adds, must be willing to commit eventually. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Postage is hard to come by in prison, if possible, send stamps. And, of course, there's also another one who is serving time for second-degree murder. But their profiles are a feature on meetaninmate.com, where you can browse the profiles of hundreds of women and men all yearning to hear from you. Now, the website does include a disclaimer, but adds, quote, even though these men and women are in prison, it doesn't mean that they are bad individuals. I'll say that again. Even though these men and women are in prison, it doesn't mean that they are bad individuals. The majority of these inmates are fun, loving, clever, reliable, sexy, and very passionate. Just like the axe that they were carrying. It can be a lot of fun communicating with these inmates. They enjoy sports, music, arts, etc., just as you do. However, they are convicted felons and caution should be used. Now, while the profiles feature do not include details of criminal convictions, that information can be found at the free inmate locator. And the person who set the site up in 1988 does not recommend using the site to land a serious relationship. And in a frequently asked question to the site, he admits the odds of everything working out are slim. There are just too many obstacles. I recommend the site for friends/penpal basis. It can be a lot of fun writing an inmate. I recommend not to send money to inmates. So, are you buying or are you selling the whole thing of meeting inmates? And would you even be interested in starting a pen pal relationship with someone in prison?
No. I'm not going to even let you finish that statement. No. I have enough trouble being text friends with people that I know that aren't in jail. I think there is a market for everything. So, I mean, hey, I guess they are people too. And some of them, you know what, I will agree with. Some of them are not bad people. Bad victim of circumstance, you know. I'm sure there are people serving short-term sentences in prison for drunk driving and then hitting somebody on accident. Does that make them a bad person? No.
I gotta admit, as a guy, some of those women on that list were some good-looking ladies, but I...
Well, yeah, they get the best health care ever. I kind of want to go to jail so I can get the health care. Are you kidding me? Regular checkups, 3 square meals a day, gym privileges, I don't have to work. Prison life sounds really good right now. On the bad side, when you get out... You don't get a job while you're in. There's the whole gang rape thing. And the pluses and minuses of freedom. I love how I did see one of, or a couple of the profiles. They're all shots of, they're head and shoulder shots. So you don't get to see if there's any weird tattoo things going on. So if you have a thing against, just don't. Contact them. Yeah, no, it's one of those things. Like I said, there's a market for everybody, and I'm sure there are people out there that do really just want to talk to the bad girl, bad boy person. I mean, they have TV shows about it, so why not? Well, I? No. No. I like my anonymity.
Yeah, that now, you know, I'm with you on that one. I saw that, I was like, really? MeetAnInmate.com. Now, there are some people, and I will never understand how some people love writing or having a pen pal relationship with someone in prison. There's thousands upon thousands of people that are out of prison that you can have one with. But I guess for them, you know, at least I guess, I don't know, maybe that they think that this person's not going to bother them for 8 to 10 years, that they're not going to come want to visit them. But I don't understand the whole thing of keeping a pen pal. I mean, heck, even having a relationship with someone in prison. I watched something a couple weeks ago, and I think it was on MSNBC. It was about, you know, behind the scenes of the prisons, and they had, you know, these people. And there was this one guy. He got a letter from his girlfriend, and she wrote to tell him, because he was now serving probably about 20 years, that she was moving on. And this guy was upset. He couldn't understand why she was moving on, why she could not wait for him. And he said, you know, I gave up, you know, I did blah, 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 blah for her, and she's moving on. I can't accept that. And I was like, really? You're behind jail, you're behind bars for about 20 years. You thought she was going to stay?
Yes. Aren't they?
I mean, if anything, for being in jail for, you know, for what he did, now he should just be kept there for being an idiot. I mean, I don't understand. I really don't. Yeah. But, yeah, that's meetinmate.com if you're interested. But I wanted to kind of get to this one before we get to the LeVar files this week. There was something that the New Yorker did this week that I thought was pretty interesting. You can still wear pants and trousers, but you may no longer wear slacks after the New Yorker deemed it was the least popular and most reviled word in the English language. Henceforth, any use of the word slacks to refer to a garment traditionally worn by males will be punishable by death. No, we're kidding. At least that was how the weekly Twitter contest started by New York editor Ben Greenman. The first round of which we held last Friday asked readers to propose a single English word that should be eliminated from the language. Now, it was more than one word that I could think of, but he had word nerds furiously pounding out their 140-character tweets against some of the worst offenders, literally, actually, and Kardashian. Rick Riley of Sports Illustrated wanted T-Bowling gone from the lexicon, and for good reason why a surprising array of lexical forces was marshaled against moist, which some people don't like that word, though that argument was fiercely denounced by Greenman. How would bankers, meteorologists, and amateur pornographers describe slight wetness? And then it says the winner was, in fact, slacks. Now, you can still use slacks as verb form or to refer to anything that has slacks in it, but the New York Times thinks that slacks is the worst word in the English language. Now, I disagree. And my wonderful co-host knows that I kind of have not so good feeling about the word nosh.
My sister doesn't like moist. She absolutely does not say that. Or no, not moist, panties.
That is an issue with some girls. They don't like the word panties. But what do you prefer then? Underwear seems kind of like
I like panties. I wear bikini briefs. I wear thongs. I wear g-strings, and I wear panties. It says it on the package. Sorry.
So what is it about that word? Because I knew other girls that had an issue with that word. What is it about that? Like, and I had, you know, not only was panties like a bad word with some girls, moist too. But I was like, what is the issue with that? Why don't they like that?
I don't know. I like saying them in conjunction, moist panties, just to piss people off. When I find out they don't like moist or panties, I always say moist panties, just because they're just words, people. They're just words. And this conversation has gone way off the deep end. I like saying moist. It's fun. Just saying it's fun, moist. People are like, what?
If they're just tuning in, I haven't. No. Yeah, if they're just tuning in, I don't.
So you
I can't,
don't like
don't
nosh?
I don't like nosh because it kind of has that like elitist like $5 word now. It just seems kind of, well, it's okay, I guess, if it's used by women. But to be used by guys, I have an issue with it. Because I once had a friend of mine write something that they were noshing on strawberries. And I was like, you know, what guy uses the word nosh? You know?
What guy noshes on strawberries?
And I'm like, really? Noshing on strawberries? You know, like, you know, eating some strawberries. I'd much rather you put it that way. I mean, that should be a man law. No man should use the word nosh. It just does not go well, you know? But I don't know. I have an issue with it. Do you have a word that totally drives you bonkers?
Not off the top of my head. There are certain words that do drive me bonkers, but off the top of my head, I like making fun of people. I don't have enough words in my vernacular to facilitate this conversation any further. I'm trying to think. Upchuck. I don't like when people say I upchuck, but that's just because of the actual. Like, if you're gonna puke. If you're gonna throw up. But upchuck, really? What are you upchucking? And what the chuck do you mean?
I don't know.
Don't like it when people call me Mayor. Does that count?
No, that could count.
Like when people shorten names, I don't like that. your name is Lavar. That's like having people call you Lev.
Yeah.
Hey, Lev, what's up? No.
Yeah,
no, Lavar.
That would constitute me ignoring you at that point.
All right, Lavar Files. Let's hit this up because I want to hear this.
Yeah, there's two things for the Lavar Files this week. Actually, I just added one probably a few minutes ago, and there's stories that you cannot believe. And it's like, really? One has to do here from Illinois, and this story, I kid you not, was of a woman here that may have learned a harsh lesson in movie etiquette over the weekend, or probably not. Last Saturday, a 58-year-old woman told police that she was watching a movie at a local cinema outside of Chicago while talking on her phone. And then all of a sudden, a man who was also watching the same movie became upset with her. The man approached the multitasking woman, pointed at her, and yelled, "Turn off your damn phone," according to the report. The woman told police the man's actions caused her to become scared, though she watched the rest of the movie before notifying authorities. So obviously she wasn't that scared. But then the story of the week that kind of really got to me was one in which I could not really believe it. It had to do with something that, and I'm trying to bring up the story, and unfortunately my computer is following me here now, but I can remember it verbatim. But a man has sued BMW for what he... for what most guys probably would kill to have. Blaming a seat design in his BMW, a man has sued BMW for, quote, a constant erection. Yes. He says for the last 20 months, because of the way that the seat was designed in his BMW, that it has caused him pain and suffering, and that it was... I can't even go on with the story. Really?
Okay, so he shouldn't have any over 4-hour road trips in said BMW it's been that way for more than 4 hours, that you need to see a doctor.
Pretty much, the man is suing BMW and aftermarket seat makers Corbin Pacific, claiming that he has had a nonstop erection for 20 months. He says the trouble started with his 1993 BMW motorcycle and its ridge-like seat. He's suing for lost wages, medical expenses, emotional distress, and what he calls, quote, general damage. And beyond that, he claims to, quote, he is now unable to engage in sexual activity, which is causing him substantial emotional and mental anguish. Now,
I kind of want to borrow that BMW.
I think there will probably be more people now. If anything, I think the makers of the Corbin Pacific will be more than likely to pay them off whatever, because now they're probably going to see an increase of sales on their seats.
That is a pretty
really,
nice
people?
Seat. Well, I'm just saying, if he has a 4-hour road trip with that erection, I'm going to be politically correct. Isn't he supposed to go and see a doctor? Because I know on those medical ads that if you have an erection that lasts for more than 4 hours, you need to see a medical professional.
We're talking 20 months. 20 months. That's a year and
there's
8 months.
There's no way he had a 20-month hard-on. Sorry. His appendix would have fallen off by now.
You would have fainted and have been dead by now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So it was
we
not
got
a
90
continuous.
Seconds. Yeah. Continuous. We have less than 90 seconds. Any shout-outs this week?
No. I mean, I had a really good time at Hello Kitty. Not Hello Kitty. Sorry, the Pretty Kitty. Wrong type. Wow, those are two different things. I don't have any shout-outs this week.
Well, I guess
that
you could say
really
Hello Kitty, but you could say Hello Kitty or Goodbye Kitty. So I don't
know. Kitty is out of the bag. Okay.
Well, on that note, we've got to the old clock on the wall is telling us we are out of time. So for Mary, I'm Lavar. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you here next Friday on another edition of The Cutting Room Floor.
Peace.